642. This is 1320 WILS. You know, since the 50s, NASA has wanted to send a probe to the sun, and next year they're going to do it. One of the top scientists working on the project, Justin Casper, with us, University of Michigan Climate and Space Sciences and Engineering Professor. Justin, great to have you on 1320 WILS.
Well, Michael, it's great to be here.
Yeah, how long have you been working on the project yourself?
Well, if I really look back, I was hearing about it from my advisor back in college, back in the 90s. But we started doing development for Solar Probe in about 2005 when we heard it was looking like NASA might actually go forward with the mission. Mm-hmm. And we were formally selected in 2010. So, you know, it's the spacecraft's coming together. We're about a year out from launch, so we're starting to tell everyone about the project. But it's been a lot of work getting to this point.
What is it that you want to discover on the sun?
Well, there are two big questions that we're trying to figure out, and we've appreciated them for about 70 years, but even with the space age and getting up into orbit, we haven't been able to figure out how to explain them. One is, if you look at the surface of the sun, it glows yellow because it's at a temperature of around 6,000 degrees, but the sun's atmosphere above that surface is at, you know, 1,000,000 degrees, so something heats it 1,000 times hotter than the surface. That's kind of unintuitive, as you might imagine. We think it has something to do with magnetic fields, waves on the sun. If we could figure that out, we could understand how the sun's atmosphere is being heated and maybe understand heating better in general. Mm-hmm. We're also trying to figure out why it turns out that very hot atmosphere is unstable, and it produces this thing called a solar wind. That wind blows out in interplanetary space, mm-hmm. and it causes things when it hits Earth, like geomagnetic storms or the aurora borealis. So if we could understand that heating and the acceleration of the solar wind, we might actually be able to predict when these space weather events are going to happen in advance.
I mean, I've heard that a solar flare could take out our entire power grid. Is that true? Could that actually happen?
Yeah. You know, the worst example we have in history was in 1859. Now, we didn't have power grids back then, but we had telegraph lines. And astronomers actually saw a really large solar flare. It was so big they could actually see it in white light with their own eyes. Mm-hmm. And about 18 hours later, a big disturbance that had flown off the sun hit Earth. Compasses started twisting around. The telegraph keys actually started sparking. And then the whole telegraph network went down for about 3 days. People couldn't send messages. What we now know happened back then was a very strong magnetic field had been sort of lofted off the sun and hurled out at about 3 million miles an hour. Mm. We call these coronal mass ejections, so they're part of the solar flare process. And what happens is when you have a very large magnetic field moving over a conductor like a telegraph line, it can induce a really strong current. Mm. So if that were to happen today, we don't have telegraph lines, but we have power grids all over the place. Yeah. And there have been assessments by the Department of Homeland Security and FEMA and the other agencies that say if we didn't have enough warning to shut off the grid and disconnect the large transformers, you could potentially see a loss of electrical power on the east and west seaboards that would take potentially months to recover from.
Oh, wow. And we don't have any way to have a warning of that, do we?
Well, the best we have right now is we have a couple basically beacon spacecraft that sit at a quasi-stable point about 1% of the way towards the sun, where the sun's gravity and the Earth's gravity cancel out. And they send back measurements of the speed of the solar wind and how magnetized it is. And that gives us about an hour warning, maybe a half-hour warning if there was a major event. It's really not a lot of time. Yeah. If you're trying to shut everything down. And then, you know, we probably shouldn't focus on the worst possible event. You know, people think that space weather might do $3 or $4 billion of economic damage in the U.S. every year just from more routine events, disrupting airlines, GPS communication, that kind of thing.
Professor Justin Casper with us from University of Michigan, working on this probe, the Parker Solar Probe, launching off to the sun next year. When is it going to get there?
So it's a pretty amazing trajectory. We launch on the largest rocket currently in the U.S. fleet, the Delta IV Heavy. That launch starts, our window opens in the end of July of next year. About 2 months after that, we have an encounter with Venus, where we pass just a couple of 100 miles off the surface of Venus. We do that to bend our orbit so we head in towards the sun's atmosphere. And then it's a straight shot to the sun. We have our first encounter just a couple months after that in October.
Okay, and how do you keep the probe from melting?
That is definitely the biggest technical challenge. I mean, people have wanted to build a solar probe since before NASA even existed, but at our closest approach, the sun's 500 times brighter. Any exposed surfaces get up to, you know, a couple thousand degrees, you know, literally glowing to the eye. So we had to come up with a couple very interesting materials to keep the spacecraft and the instruments safe. The biggest thing is a large heat shield on the front of the spacecraft made of a material called carbon foam. It's like a very low-density carbon structure. And the front of it, it's like the best insulator ever built. So the front of it gets up to a few thousand degrees, but the back of it's, and it's only a half a foot thick. The back is only at a couple hundred degrees.
Okay, and it's going to get how close to the sun then?
So we're going to get about 4% of the distance from the sun to the Earth.
Wow, just that much, okay.
Yeah, at that distance, we're going to be the fastest object ever made by humans, moving at about a quarter of a million miles an hour.
And what is the probe going to do at that point?
Okay, so what we've done is behind the heat shield, we've covered the probe with instruments that will measure the magnetic field, the electric fields, the speed and density of the wind, and any radiation that's coming off from the sun. We also have an imager that's looking off to the side so we can see the wind as it blows around the spacecraft. We'll use all those measurements to and what's transmitted back to Earth to make sense of what the spacecraft's passing through.
Okay, so is it going to circle the sun, or what's going to happen?
Yeah, so it gets the first encounter with the sun. So the distance between the Earth and the sun is about 215 times the radius of the sun. Our first encounter, we only get to within 35 solar radii of the sun. And then we have seven separate encounters with Venus over 5 years. Each time we get a little closer to the sun. So we're in a big ellipse is our orbit. We go out to our furthest point from the sun, and then we plunge in. It takes about 11 days for us to zoom in past close to the sun's atmosphere and then basically pop out the other side.
Right.
And then we take a couple months to slowly beam the data back to Earth.
And then finally, what happens to the probe? Does it just melt away?
That's a great question. So, you know, it's a very new environment we've never been to before, so you always worry you haven't anticipated a challenge. But assuming everything works correctly, what will probably happen is we'll run out of fuel. And so the reason we need fuel is we have this big heat shield, and when we're close to the sun, the force from the light from the sun is so strong, it could flip the spacecraft around in about half a minute. If we didn't actively use momentum wheels and rockets to keep ourselves pointed at the sun. So one day, if everything else works fine, we'll run out of fuel. We won't be able to stop that force from the sunlight, and the sun itself, just from its light, will flip us around, and the whole spacecraft would burn up in seconds.
That's a dramatic way to go.
It'll be a dramatic way to go. At that point, then, they'll just sort of be a blob that was one solar probe in orbit around the sun forever.
It's Justin Casper. He is one of the top scientists working on the Parker Solar Probe, and you're going to be following it all the way through to the end, I'm guessing, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Justin Parker, University of Michigan, Climate and Space Sciences and Engineering Professor. Justin, great to have you on WILS. Thank you very much.
Great talking to you. Take care.
Yep, you too. 650, 1320 WILS. Where has chivalry gone? I almost